There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
It is the Lombardi Line here from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We are presented by BetMGM. We welcome you in South Point Sportsbook Studio here on a Wednesday morning on the West Coast, noon on the East Coast. I'm Ben Wilson, filling in for Patrick Maher, the vacationing Patrick Maher, a guy who's just back from vacation, filling in for Michael Lombardi today. He really needs no introduction, but we'll introduce him anyway. Mike Pritchard. What's up, Pritch?
Ben, how are you today?
Oh, I'm good. We're back in the saddle
we
together.
We are.
The last time we were here, we were just telling Matt Santos, our producer, this. Mm-hmm. Last time you and I were on the desk together, it was for our Point Spread Sunday show during the NFL season, and it was at 5 a.m., West Coast time, but we were watching a London game, Jets-Falcons, and at approximately 6:39 a.m. Pacific time, I was yelling vociferously at the TV at Tony Corrente for a terrible roughing the passer call, and I then had to, you know, reassess my life decisions.
The fact that you timestamped that, I'm highly impressed by you
It was one of those top, those five lowest moments of my NFL
What's
viewing
it low?
Life.
Where, I loved your reaction.
Okay, 4th and 26 as a kid was my low. As a Packer fan, that was my low. I hid in the closet and did not want to come out. Anyway, we got a lot to discuss on the show today because Mike Pritchard, he's back for his little soiree, little vacation. A lot of some NFL topics to hit on today. We'll go into some of our thoughts on maybe divisional breakdowns here. We'll talk some of the NFC divisions today. We also will have Lou Fittacaro to talk a little UFC. There is a fight night this weekend, and we'll get his thoughts on how he breaks down his NFL handicapping this time of year. We're 65 days out from opening night in the NFL. And also, the lead up to the Open Championship continues in earnest this week. Scottish Open beginning tomorrow. Big event across the pond. Most of the guys you'll see next week at St. Andrews will be participating. And so Stephen Hennessy from Golf Digest, always an outstanding guest to have to talk some golf. He will join us. A number of topics we can hit with Stephen. One of the things that happened while you were away, though, Pritch, was something that it hits very close to home for you as a member of the Colorado Athletics Hall of Fame. Mike Pritchard, for those who don't know, he won a national title with the Buffs. But the Pac-12 is now kind of in disarray as we sit, and now coming out of the 4th of July weekend, where we at least had a couple of days here for this to calm down. There's not really any immediate betting implications, but long term, there certainly could be here. And I guess to start, we see the news right before the 4th, USC, UCLA, they announce they're out. They're going to the Big Ten. On a scale of 1 to 10, and I know you're very involved still with on the Pac-12 Legends Committee, just how blindsided was the Pac-12 by this? Or was this at all a foreseeable kind of development
here? I mean, it was not foreseeable by any means, Ben. I think just recently we had meetings in terms of how to galvanize and how to move the conference forward. Looking forward to the chance of a new media rights agreement that was on the horizon. We got new coaches within the conference that was going to bring excitement. The chance to keep kids in Southern California or in the Rocky Mountain region or in the Pacific Northwest, that was something that we were starting to get excited about. So here you go with athletic directors Mike Bone in particular, with SC, and you think about UCLA and their need for cash right now. It made sense for them from a business standpoint, but that's what we're dealing with as bettors and as people that are fans of college football. We're dealing with the business of college football right now. I think the curtain has been pulled back, and their model is exposed. And so now you're seeing these schools, these institutions, look at situations that's going to be advantageous for them business-wise. And that's why you have SC, UCLA going to the Big Ten, at least committed to go to the Big Ten. And now, right now, you have the Pac-12 scrambling to negotiate a new media rights deal. It was so detrimental, Ben. I cannot tell you the last commissioner president that we had and how bad that deal was. With no direct TV exposure and really no exposure from the Pac-12 standpoint and any media standpoint. And then on top of that, just how long the deal was and how non-competitive it was going to be versus the Big Ten and also the SEC. So it's not surprising after the fact that SC and UCLA moves, but it is damaging to the Pac-12 conference.
Right. I think when you phrase it like that in the context of the media rights, and that is really the driving force for a lot of these realignment discussions,
right,
because it was not where it should have been for the Pac-12, things like this were eventually bound to happen. We just didn't think it would happen like right here, right now.
Sure, sure.
With USC and UCLA. I know we looked to, so Dennis Dodd from CBS, he covers a lot of the college football happenings, especially off the field. He was reporting yesterday Pac-12 will begin an exclusive 30-day negotiation window with ESPN and Fox. They're trying to salvage something. But a lot of people are sitting there and they say, wait, we watch Pac-12 games on ESPN and Fox. What's the big deal here? I think the casual people don't really understand, right? There are tiers here. There are levels.
Right.
Like when I called games for Fox for Pac-12, like our games were starting on the Fox Business Network and then switched in progress to FS1. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen if you're the Ohio State, Michigan. Like you are given prime time, you know, first dibs, and you're not, you know, Pac-12. Like they're following NASCAR right now. Like that's just kind of the reality. So it goes to show where this goes forward. And it's kind of been the point too of, because we've seen these teams leaving the Big 12 for the SEC. We now see teams leave the Pac-12 for the Big 10. It's funny because you played at Colorado back when they were a member of what is now the Big 12, Big 8 back then.
Right.
And now you're part of still the alumni staff at Colorado, now as a part of the Pac-12. If you were handicapping it, so to speak, who do you think has more leverage between Pac-12, Big 12 right now as it relates to, because it seems like everything we've read on the reporting, each conference right now is kind of in a tug of war with the other. They're looking to see which members of those fellow institutions can we take to bolster our own conference. Who would you give the edge to as far as those two conferences?
Well, right here's where it gets very exciting from a betting standpoint, because who would I give the edge to? I would say that the Pac-12 and the Big 12 are combined. Mm-hmm. If some other teams do not get invited to the Big Ten, because you have to get invited now. All right, like SC, UCLA, that was a package deal. There wasn't really an invitation, right? We're interested in the Big Ten. Okay, you guys are welcome, right? That's how that played out. But the remaining teams in the Pac-12 certainly going to have to be invited. I'm hearing rumblings, and you're seeing rumblings about ACC, Pac-12 alliance, that kind of thing, which they did have an alliance between three conferences, the Big Ten, the ACC, and the Pac-12. That blew up. So now you have the Big 12.
A lot of rumblings.
Yeah, a lot of rumblings right now. But that's what money and negotiations will produce for you, rumblings. And so you have been the prospects of the Big 12 and the Pac-12 combining again and form another super conference. So that's the mode that we're in right now. These institutions, they want to go to the super conferences, obviously, for the big media rights deals that are out there. The NFL laid the pathway, really, for the fortunes for college football. You're talking about $1 billion a year. But here's where it gets exciting from a betting standpoint. We're going to have the matchups that we want. Like, if you look at Alabama's schedule, they got Utah State on there, right? Louisiana Monroe on there, right? But in a matter of years, 2024, 2025, 2026, that schedule's not going to look like that. It's going to look like, you know, Alabama, Texas, and then the next week, Alabama, Texas A&M, and then the next week, Alabama, Auburn, or whoever. But as a bettor, that gets very, very exciting to me. Same thing with the Big Ten, and we'll see what happens with the Big 12 as well as the Pac-12. Well,
and it's funny you mentioned that, too, because, again, like we say, there's not the immediate betting impact. But I think long-term, the one thing that could really change, especially from the futures perspective, from the win total markets, how we look at this stuff, if it ends up being this kind of proposed Power 2 model that everybody is sort of throwing out there, where you could get 16 teams apiece between the Big Big Ten and the SEC. And a lot of this would have to determine, would kind of depend on, does Notre Dame, who has kind of rejected all sorts of the, you know, they've had the offers there in the past, and they've felt like their brand as an independent institution is more powerful than a conference affiliation. But if Notre Dame were to go to the Big Ten, if a team like if the Clemson and the FSUs of the world, which again, those are kind of rumored, could potentially leapfrog from the ACC to the SEC, you could essentially have a credible system where those two conferences themselves could basically play their own like eight-team tournament for presumably the national championship. The way this has been laid out, if that were to happen, it could start as soon as 2025, if this stuff all comes together as soon as, you know, things might happen. So you would think, I mean, if all of a sudden you've got a, you know, the final four out of, so like the top four teams from each of the 16 team, those two conferences, that makes it so much different where it's no longer a, all right, you can maybe get away with one loss max and that's it.
Right.
And wouldn't you think that would completely change the way, if you're talking about this is more like an NFL structure, it completely changes the way you go about planning your whole season, right, from start to finish, and that would certainly change the betting market.
Absolutely, because you're talking about now divisions or regions, which, however you want to phrase it in college football, within the landscape of these super conferences. So I think there's your expansion for the college football playoff too. So right now we have the same model in place until 2026. After 2026, we could see an expansion for the college football playoff, which everybody wants. I mean, that's going to be more lucrative for a lot of schools and a lot of situations. The one caveat with Notre Dame, though, Ben, is they've been able to survive as an independent because they had to deal with NBC. Like BYU went independent because they had the BYU network. Texas Longhorns, they wanted to go independent, but they couldn't because of the Longhorn network, even though they stayed inside the Big 12. Basically, NBC network is Notre Dame network. So if NBC gets involved with the Super Conference, though, from a media rights standpoint, I think Notre Dame's going to be compelled to join a conference, which that I think would be advantageous for them to do so.
Yeah, and that's kind of the last question I have for you on this, because it's like, what?
Right.
Does Notre Dame actually do this? They've pushed back for so long. Mm-hmm. I know you've seen the rumors, too, that the Big Ten might entice Stanford to join as well, because that would give another natural rival of Notre Dame's. And if you had that, you'd have Michigan, Michigan State, Purdue, Stanford, and USC as teams Notre Dame basically plays every year already.
Right.
And that's now almost half the conference. So, like, does that actually happen? That's kind of the question now.
Man, I tell you, how cool would that be from a betting standpoint to go back to my national championship year? Our non-conference schedule, Ben, was Tennessee, Stanford, Illinois, Texas, and Washington before we even got into the Big Eight. So that's when college football, to me, was at its finest, when you're really challenging yourselves with a non-conference schedule. It's exciting for the fans, and it's exciting for college football.
I think you had another game that year, your national championship season, in Columbia, Missouri, that ended in a very interesting way. Every time Mike and I do a show together, as a University of Missouri alumni, got to talk about the fifth down.
You want to talk about it?
Not really. We don't need to. That's okay. It's a fascinating discussion. We could probably do an entire show on it, but you know, we do want to talk some betting stuff. So. But you are the perfect guy to at least give the insight here.
Absolutely.
Thank you for trying to unpretzel my brain there for 10
You're welcome.
Minutes. We need it. That's kind of what we do on the show. We have a lot more to discuss here on the Lombardi Line. We'll talk some early day baseball. We've got a big slate today. Bunch of games starting here in the next couple of hours. That is next as we're just underway on the Lombardi Line.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back in on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Ben Wilson joined by Mike Pritchard on the desk from our South Point Sportsbook studio. Big show on tap for you today, including a lot of day baseball, Mike. And you come back from vacation yesterday. You just dive right back in. You go Mariners, going straight for the dogs on the road. And right. Logan Gilbert got it done for you last night.
He did. He did. Baseball, for people that don't know, I have a portfolio. And I learned this from betting NFL last year in the playoffs. And just being focused on about 10 teams. And with that focus and understanding the culture, understanding the psyche of that team, at least from a player standpoint, my standpoint, has helped me, and finding spots. And so the formula that I used yesterday was Gilbert having a decent season for the Mariners, a really good season, really. But the Mariners with momentum and supporting their pitching, the rotation. And so I'm thinking, Gilbert, okay, first time facing – or the Padres, first time seeing this guy, that's going to slow up a slumping team as well. And so the Padres had been slumping a little bit.
Yep.
And sure enough, 6-2, you get that run support, and that you ride that momentum, and the Mariners came through for me right there. It was plus 115 from a dog situation. It ticked up against me, but I still felt good about the play.
Doesn't matter. Cash the dog ticket. Logan Gilbert, 10-3, 261 ERA now. 30-1 to win this. He's probably not going to win the AL Cy Young, but it's been a very, very nice year for Logan Gilbert, and it's a fascinating strategy you employ because you're focusing too. It's not just it's not just situations to bet on. It can be bet against, and teams who follow their teams every single day, all 162 games, they can tell you when a team is they just don't look good and they're not in a good rhythm at the plate, on the mound, whatever it is, and you can kind of go against them. So you clearly found something here.
Well, absolutely. And so we're nearing the break, too. And there's a fatigue factor mentally, as as a player. Okay, we got a break coming up. We got the All-Star break coming up. And, okay, we got a double-digit lead within our division. We're good. Or, we're down 26 and a half games. We're bad. And so, okay, am I going to get traded? All these things from a player's perspective, that's starting to come into play here as we have the break, and then certainly the trades start to ramp up too in Major League Baseball. So those are just interesting spots with my portfolio that I'm looking to exploit.
It's great. You played, 17 games a year in the NFL, and you're talking 160. A little different. Just a little apples to oranges.
Right. Could you imagine? I can't imagine the fatigue factor right now for Major League Baseball players.
And we're a couple weeks out from the All-Star break. The Blue Jays go to Oakland and have just been trounced against this horrific team back-to-back nights. It's kind of things like that happen. A couple notes, though, from last night that were really interesting. It was the return of the Max. Max Scherzer comes back off the IL and was absolutely dominant. 6 innings. Shutout baseball, only gives up 2 hits, strikes out 11 for the New York Mets. They lose anyway. Nick Lodolo, one of the top prospects there for the Reds, who had been injured as well since April. He came off the 60-day IL and was equally masterful. Reds win it 1-0 is a pretty big dog. You see there, $1.87 at the South Point, where we use our numbers from last night. That was big. And what else was big? Sandy Alcantara, his numbers just keep getting shorter and shorter for NL Cy Young. He goes 8 strong last night, 2 hits, 10 strikeouts, and you look at Alcantara. I had this pulled up. He has now 8 different outings this season of at least 8 innings pitched. Nobody else has more than 3, Mike. Mm-hmm. And those 8 innings, that's more
than anybody had in the entire 2021 season.
Yeah.
It's July 6th. That's nuts.
It really is crazy. And to think Jeter quit on him. I mean, you think about it. Anyway, Alcantara, though, he's a phenomenal player.
Cardinals quit on Alcantara, too.
Sure.
They dealt him to Miami.
Yeah. Remember Marlins? I mean, they had the pitching way back in the day. Dontrell
Willis.
I saw him play against the Cubs, pitch against the Cubs. And, you know, the Marlins have been like that. Tampa Bay has been like that, right? But Alcantara is amazing. Like, you're looking at the NL Cy Young futures right now, plus 160. I don't want to get nuts here. I mean, the Mariners are 10 back. The Mets, I mean, they're going to get stronger with DeGrom and certainly right. Scherzer. And, I mean, the entire rotation, really. But the Braves are flexing, too. Anything crazy, though, happening from a trade standpoint, right?
Yeah, I don't see – I mean, with Alcantara now, he is your most valuable asset. And right. It's a Marlins team that with the expanded postseason and the wild card, they're a few games out right now. It'll be interesting to see what they do because you're right. They've traditionally been all right, let's plump up our deep, vast array of pitching and then sell it off for, you know, and make a lot of profit from it. But with Alcantara, at least with the Cy Young, when you're handicapping this stuff, it's a lot easier because the team's success kind of goes out the window. I mean, Jacob DeGrom won this award at like a 9-10 record. So it doesn't really matter as much the team. It's more the numbers. And Alcantara, we saw his number tick down. It was plus 175 last night, now down to $1.60, at least at BetMGM. It's a great example, though, you could lose every start, but if you're pitching the way he is, and their bullpen almost blew it for him last night in the ninth, they hung on to win 2-1 against the Angels, you can still win it. And so, like, he's got to be the winner right now. At the same time, it's hard to, you know, we saw last year, Jacob DeGrom was minus 500 at this point last year. Of course, he gets injured, doesn't pitch again, and he still hasn't pitched since then. So that's always the risk when you start looking at guys this price this shortly. But there's a big difference between laying $5 and plus 160, even at this point.
A huge difference. I mean, just looking at the names on it, I mean, Scherzer is 40-1 now, right? But, you know, it gets interesting for the NL Cy Young, though. Corbin Burns, I think Milwaukee, they feel like they're underachieving to me, even though they probably aren't. And, you know, you're in first place by 3 games. The Cardinals are right there, too, though. But, you know, Max Fried, he's starting to emerge. What is he, 8-2?
He's 8-2 now. His numbers compared to especially Joe Musgrove, who's 5-1, they're pretty much the same. We had this conversation on Primetime Action last night I did with Matt Brown, and because we were thinking, all right, if you're coming into this market from scratch, you don't have anything. It's hard to say take a plus 160 on Alcantara. Max Fried, you can find in the 13-1 range in the market, 11-1 at BetMGM. That's got to be the guy.
I think so.
He's been an absolute quality start machine. 12 of his last 14 starts have been quality starts. Goes deep basically every single time. And the numbers, I mean, the advanced metrics also indicate a guy with a sub-3 ERA has no sign of regression, which is very, very rare to see.
Right.
I mean, it's simply tough. I mean, Logan Gilbert is having a great year. I mean, he's, you know, expected ERA of 409 and an ERA of 261. That just happens when you get a lot of variance on your side. So for a guy to be that good and have no signs of regression, that's got to catch your eye. So that'd be the one guy I'd look at.
Right, absolutely. I mean, he's 11-1 on the board right there. But then you think about Atlanta, the narrative there is with them too. I mean, the streak that they went on, Max Fried leading the way to with the phenomenal performances right there. I mean, I want to incorporate narratives too. When you're thinking about Cy Young award winners or any award winners at the end of the season, the narrative has to be there. You know, the narrative has to be a strong one, too, as well as the performance right there. And so I think Fried has a tremendous opportunity. Again, 11-1 from an NL Cy Young standpoint.
Yeah, 266 ERA for Fried, 8-2, but his fielding independent pitching is just 2.52.
Yeah.
It could actually be even lower
if
you argue it that way. There is one game coming up at the top of the hour. We'll have our full MLB deep dive breakdown. So get all the games on the card, figure out any value we like a little bit later in the show. But coming up, it's about 40 minutes. And boy, Mike, the Guardians picked a pretty bad time to just go in the tank. You're facing the Detroit Tigers. You've gotten within 2.5-3 games of the division lead. You had a couple of crazy walk-off wins last week against the Twins. We just started to maybe buy into this Guardians team, and then the last 2 days happened. You lose a doubleheader. You get swept in a doubleheader on July 4th. Lose last night in just, I mean, it was an absolute blowout fashion. You send Shane Bieber to the mound today as a $1.56 favorite.
Yeah.
So this should be the classic, like, all right, here's your stopper, 3.16 ERA and 15 starts on the mound. It's a classic case, though, of, as we just talked about, these are really high variance times for a lot of these good teams struggling to keep their level of play up heading into the All-Star break. Would you have enough trust in the Guardians to lay a price given how awful they have looked the last half week here?
Well, first of all, none of these teams, neither one of these two teams is in the portfolio. So
for
there
a reason,
you go.
I'm sure.
For good reason. I mean, the Guardians tease you. They did, yeah. Certainly. But just looking at the numbers, 7.5 is a total, Ben. The unders juiced up -125. I mean, does that favor Bieber in this situation on the mound, on the bump for the Guardians, right? -156. Because you think this is a situation where if you're the Guardians, you do not want a four-game sweep on your resume or on your ledger, if you will. And they're facing that right there. I mean, I think from a pride standpoint, you have something, some fight, and a chance, too, to remain competitive. I mean, you proved early on that you can be competitive within a division. Do not get swept by the Detroit Tigers in a four-game series right here. So you got Bieber, that guy, the caliber of him on the mound. You have to support him. So the numbers suggest that the Guardians could prevail in this. I wouldn't touch the run line, but if you are inclined, -156 looks attractive.
Yeah, look, if I was wanting to get some early action, and that is I'm looking at the market, that's the best number. It's taken some money up as high as $1.67. Yeah. But I mean, just because of recent form, you still want to look at the overall picture, right? Mm-hmm. Tigers 72 WRC plus against righties. That mm-hmm. is last in the league. And I mean, Bieber's a guy who's been really solid, and his advanced numbers show he's, you know, look, I mean, we talk about 3.16 ERA, but a 2.83 fielding independent pitching, right. 3.22 xFIP. He just hasn't had much run support, 3-4 record so far. It's one I really want to take. I just can't get there with a team who basically fattened themselves up by beating up on all these bad teams early in the year, and now it's kind of coming back to the middle.
Guardians hitting 174 in their last three games, too.
That's last time I checked. No. That's not a recipe for success. I don't know about you.
I think there's some fight in them, though.
You think there's a fight?
I think so. But I'm not going to bet it.
Look, there are 162 games. There's a lot of games on the card. We're not going to bet it. But we'll give it the classic VSiN host name.
There you go.
Guardians -156 for today. Up next, Scottish Open gets underway tomorrow. Big lead up to the Open Championship. We'll discuss that with Stephen Hennessy from Golf Digest next here on the Lombardi Line. Summer special is here for only $19. You get everything VSiN has to offer from now to the end of this month. Sign up today and you'll get VSiN's daily best bets, including Adam Burke on Major League Baseball, NFL preseason coverage, premium articles on golf, UFC, and NASCAR. If you want the full VSiN experience, which features a daily best bets email, every edition of Point Spread Weekly, use of our betting tools, and a live video stream whenever you want it. The cost is only $19 to be a subscriber through July 31st. That is VSiN.com/summer, where you can sign up. We're back on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. You know, one thing they didn't mention, Mike Pritchard, in that read was the tennis, which is going on right now. Wimbledon. Well, quick update here before we go out to Stephen Hennessy, talk some golf. So we're going across the pond in a couple different ways to the All England Club there in London, where Taylor Fritz, the 11th-seeded American, 2-1 lead on Rafael Nadal, was not a massive underdog. People casually might think, oh, well, this guy, Taylor Fritz, he has to be a huge underdog to Nadal. But he was only about a 220 dog today. He's up 2-1. Nadal is up a break, though, in the fourth set. I'm seeing Nadal +140 live as this match appears to be destined for five sets. But we could have, Mike, an instant classic on our hands. Could have one.
Let's track that one.
You're locked in now. All I had to do is mention +140 on Nadal, one of the greats, and you're just like, wait. Okay, we're going to watch. We might have some tennis picks of later on in the show when we do our MLB breakdowns. But let us go out to Stephen Hennessy, who you see, read his work, I should say, in Golf Digest, where he is the deputy managing editor. Follow him on the Twitter machine at @S_HennessyGD, and also host of the Be Right Pod. I'm very jealous of you this week, Stephen, because you had Marty Fish talking tennis, one of the great former American tennis players who also is basically a scratch golfer. Again, I'm very jealous of guys like that. It's unfair, Mike. But he was just on your podcast, so I'm sure that had to have been a lot of fun, right?
It was a lot of fun. I mean, the guy's a +3 handicap. He plays out at Bel Air in L.A., and, yeah, he's the co-favorite this week out in Lake Tahoe, and was telling a bunch of good stories about playing golf with Steph Curry. Apparently, they play golf every Wednesday, him and Steph Curry. So It's very good to be Marty Fish, I think.
Oh, it is very right. good indeed to be Marty. I know even Pritch, plays in the NFL, mm-hmm. but I know your golf game, you're going to get it. You'll be at a plus three, like, in 6 months. You'll get it.
I mean, for what, the front nine, maybe?
That's my goal. That's how we view plus three.
Yeah.
Not exactly the other
sure.
way. So, Stephen, we're across the pond right now for Wimbledon. We've got the Open Championship next week. Let's talk Scottish Open, though, because for a lot of casual golf fans, mostly the only across the pond type of event they're really looking at most years is this event because of all the big names playing in it leading into the Open Championship. We have seen a number of guys incredibly hot here over the last couple of weeks. Xander Schauffele kind of leading that list, where he wins the Travelers. He wins the prestigious Pro-Am that was just held nearby there this week. And he's a guy who was, the last time he finished outside the top 20 was at the Masters in April. So starting with the X-Man, how do you value his chances? He's certainly among the favorites there on the odds board this week at the Scottish Open.
Yeah, you know, Xander is someone who he tends to ride these momentum waves. And so, I'm interested to see how he does, because he's not someone who's known for being a good links golf type player. He doesn't have a great record over at the Open. And, you know, even though he grew up out in San Diego, you know, playing courses like Torrey Pines all the time, you know, he has a really high ball flight. And so, you know, obviously he won that little two-day Pro-Am. It just speaks to how good he's playing. But I think this is a crucial week for me to see how he's playing and whether or not I'm going to invest in him at the good, good price.
We're going to reset there with Steven in a second, but it makes a good point, right? And this is what is so fascinating about, like, this 2 week stretch in particular, where it's like we kind of talked about this in the Wimbledon handicapping, mm-hmm. where when you play, you know, grass court tennis, it is so much different than hard than clay, and so the handicapping is very, very different. The numbers you're using are much more narrower. Sort of the same thing for these 2 weeks, where you go to the links type courses and you want guys with pedigree, guys experienced who have played links golf,
right.
and who know their way around the course. And that's what makes these couple weeks so fascinating, at least to me.
It really does, Ben. I mean, I think from a betting standpoint, here's what I'm focusing in on. The experience factor around links courses, like, okay, these guys, top players in the world here at Scottish, and okay, they're going to use this as a tune-up, but then how competitive is this tune-up going to be, right? Leading into the Open.
Right.
So that's what I'm considering, Stephen. I mean, when you factor in the field here and how competitive this field is, I know it could be a tune-up, but then also this tune-up can turn into an entirely different environment as these golfers are trying to figure out the links courses.
Oh, totally. We got 14 of the top 15 guys here. This is a very competitive event. This is one of the biggest tournaments, non-majors of the year. You know, it's definitely a tune-up for a lot of these guys, but, you know, a lot of money at stake. And the interesting thing, too, you know, we got all these guys over from the LIV Tour playing with the PGA Tour guys. This might be the only time that happens the rest of the year, since the major, next week is the last major of the year. So there's a lot of interesting factors this week, but I think, guys are going to be looking for a win. This is a huge opportunity for world ranking points, especially those LIV guys. Might be the last chance for them to get world ranking points for a long time.
Again, Stephen Hennessy back with us here on the Lombardi Line. So when you look at this course and the general thought here, Stephen, is it's a little bit of certainly not the toughest links test. However, there are a lot of, there are going to be some different things that will benefit the individual golfers here. What did you land on as far as your emphases this week, as far as strengths for certain golfers, and which guys are kind of at the top of your board as far as your betting card for this week?
Yeah, it's an interesting course. It's right next to Muirfield, which, obviously most people know is one of the most historic links. But this is, a course that was built in the mid-2000s by Tom Doak. It's kind of like an Americanized links course. There's a few holes out by the water, but it was actually built on, like, an old forest. So, it's kind of a decent test for these guys for next week, only if the wind blows, though. Otherwise, I think these guys are going to go pretty low. I think distance is going to be really important. This week there are some longer holes, some longer par fours. I'm actually taking a shot on John Rahm. I haven't bet on John Rahm in a long time. He's a co-favorite, 12-1. We're finally getting at least fair odds on John Rahm. He's just playing a lot better golf. He played really well at the U.S. Open, had that disappointing Sunday, but I liked what I saw from his game kind of all around. And I think his lower ball flight in these types of conditions, it's going to get windy on the weekend, it looks like. I think that favors John Rahm, so I'm on him. And then I think Scotty Scheffler has just been so consistent. I think a top 10 bet on him, he's kind of had like his B game, if you ask him. He hasn't been clicking on all cylinders, but he's still racking up top 10 finishes. He actually shot a 63 here last year. It was the low round of the tournament. I think Scheffler is pretty much a lock for a top 10 these days, and you're getting about plus 170. So I like that. And a few other outrights. Jordan Spieth about 33-1. This is the kind of course Spieth could really excel on, creativity, shaping his shots. I think he's someone who could really use another win. He obviously won at Harbortown, but you know, another win could do wonders for him, the state of his game. And Colin Morikawa, too, didn't have a good finish here last year, but obviously won the Open Championship the next week. And I think he just figured out how to play on these links courses that week. And you're finding him at 30-1. My new rule, guys, if Colin Morikawa is 30-1, it's an auto bet. The guy is just that good. So those are my favorite outright.
Yeah, I mean, you factor in the par threes, too, could play in the favor for Morikawa there that way. Steven, real quick, in terms of, I guess, longer shots here, because I think the competitiveness of the field, and you just mentioned what's at stake too, it's like with this type of course, can you see a long, I mean, like a lottery ticket long shot prevailing and perhaps coming out on the top in this tournament?
You know, we've had a few of those the past few years here, but I think the field's just too good. You know, I think, you know, I would look at guys maybe 60-70-1, but probably no higher than that. That being said, though, I do like one guy, Hao Tung Lee, who won over on the European Tour. His last event is 130-1. I think that's worth a shot. But other than that, I'm kind of concentrating a little lower. Christian Bezuidenhout is one of those guys, finished second last week on the John Deere. And, you know, I think this type of layout could also play to his strengths. He's about 60-1 or so. I do like his chances. And then the last guy is Lucas Herbert, who's an Australian, but has had great history here at the Scottish Open. He's actually first in strokes gained total on this course the last 3 years. You can find him at about 60-1. So definitely a few longer shots worth sprinkling on.
Again, Stephen Hennessy, our guest from Golf Digest. You follow him on Twitter, S_HennessyGD. Stephen, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for stopping by. I know it's going to be a couple of crazy weeks. I'm sure we will have you on again next week to handicap the Open Championship. So enjoy this week of golf. It should be a fun stretch there across the pond.
Awesome, guys. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Stephen Hennessy, always so kind with his time to join us. We have a final. Nick Kyrgios has beaten Christian Jarin, Chilean clay quarter. As Mike looking at me like, who what are these names? Why do they matter? Nick Kyrgios into the semifinals of Wimbledon.
Right. So we're getting live Wimbledon reaction from Ben Wilson, kind of like what we did with.
There will not be any
crossed upon.
There won't be any scream. Don't worry. There's not going to be screaming.
You can't scream with tennis on. You can't do
There's no umpire. There are umpires, but there's no Tony Corrente. He's not officiating.
Okay.
There's not. Good. I can't yell that way.
Right.
But Nick Kyrgios is through to these semifinals.
You can't really express yourself watching tennis.
Yeah, though. That's a good. You gotta have class. You gotta really hone it in. All right, we're gonna go back to the NFL. Talk some dual forecast next.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed...
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying, tears, crying. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Turn a loss into a win with the King of Sportsbooks. Place a one-game parlay wager with at least four legs on any Major League Baseball game. If all legs of the parlay hit but one, you'll get your stake back in free bets up to $25. Log into your account or download the app and sign up with BetMGM to take advantage of this offer all season long. Just opt into the one-game parlay insurance promotion, then place a one-game parlay wager with four legs or more on any Major League Baseball game. If you miss only one leg on your wager, you'll receive up to $25 back in free bets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Nevada, New York, or Washington, D.C. As we're back on the Lombardi line with our producer behind the glass, Matt Santos. Thanks to the whole crew. Matt Hicks, our technical director. Kevin, Jeff, all in the house here. Mike Pritchard, who you can follow at MI Pritchard on the Twitter machine. I'm Ben Wilson. Talking a little NFL. We've got the NFL Network on, by the way, Pritch, and they have, I know, your buddy Warren Moon's recurring nightmare, the 92 AFC wildcard game, Oilers-Bills, the Frank Reich game. So I'm sure that's
It's actually vivid to me because in Atlanta, we ran the exact same offense. And we were talking about this during the break. As I watched this,
as Houston.
Again, it's like I'm watching tape or film.
It's wild.
And I'm locating and identifying each and every play. Okay, where is Houston going wrong? What's going on? What's happening? And why can't they execute? So it's vivid to me. You know, Warren, this is obviously a sore subject for him because, mm-hmm. I mean, legitimately, this was their greatest chance to get to a Super Bowl, I think, with that 92 squad that he had there in Houston.
30 years ago.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So note to self, don't leave NFL Network on when old games from the early 90s are on because Mike Pritchard will then just he'll be locked in. But, you know. I like to watch games from the early 90s, too, because I'm a weird person that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's normal for you because you're a former player.
Actually, you can learn something as a better because football is now doing what we did back in the 90s. I mean, you think about the spread offenses, the run and shoot. You're still seeing that now with the three wide receivers, the K-gun with Buffalo. Now you're seeing that with three wide receivers, that personnel packages. So football mimics itself, right? And
it's just all cyclical.
It really
it's funny
is.
How that works.
It really is. And so I think as a better, if you're trying to understand football today, they're throwing in the read option stuff, but that's basically option football. And to be honest with you, Ben, with the run and shoot, we did have an option element with that too. We didn't call it read option. We just had option elements within the offense, though.
I wonder what the live betting was like when the Bills were down 35-3. That had to have been pretty ridiculous.
Right.
We yesterday on the show, when Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds were here, we talked some dual forecasting for the AFC divisions. We're going to do the same exercise today, talking NFC. Is there value in these markets? That's kind of the question we're looking to unearth. Or are there smarter wagers to make if you like, say, Team X versus Team Y here? So as we take a look at these odds, we'll start NFC East, Mike. And these are set up. Who will finish 1-2? That is the dual forecast setup here. So if we're going 1-2 in the division, Cowboys-Eagles to be your top two teams. Mm-hmm. That is plus 110. Cowboys-Washington Commanders plus 375. Cowboys Giants 5-1, and then if you have the Eagles Commanders 6-1, Eagles Giants plus 750 in your long shot, the Giants and the Commanders at 20-1. So are you first, and you kind of have to start with the top two in all these divisions and basically determine, okay, do you believe one of these teams will disappoint
And that's kind of the question you have to ask with all these, and you go from there. So between Dallas and Philadelphia, are you of the mindset that one of these two are going to be disappointments relative to their preseason expectations here?
No, not even with injuries. I mean, I'm factoring injuries into the equation too. I mean, I think the Cowboys and Eagles are so far superior than where the Commanders are right now, and even the Giants, you know, from a complete rebuild, a front office to the coaching staff. I mean, we'll see about the quarterback and how he responds to some new coaching or different coaching. But, I the Cowboys continuity, and you got Dak Prescott. Okay, you got the Eagles continuity, and the Eagles have improved themselves. The Eagles offensively, the best red zone offense, if you will, I believe, from a year ago, in terms of on the ground, too. I mean, Jalen Hurts, you incorporate him and what they do with the running game as well as passing it. They have six eligibles on offense. That's always dangerous. Shane Steichen, the offense coordinator, is doing a fine job coordinating that style of offense. And then you got the Cowboys, where they're the best offense in the league last year. And so you don't have Amari Cooper, which I think is going to empower some of those younger players on that roster too. But you still have Dak. I think, you know, Zeke, with the firepower that the Cowboys defensively and offensively have, I mean, it's hard to see them disappointing even with injuries factored in.
And considering too, so dual forecast, these are just to finish top two. Mm-hmm. It could be either order. There are also the straight forecasts, which you can kind of, like, if you like one of these, go, and BetMGM has all these listed in their app. Just go kind of compare and contrast, see which ones you prefer. If you think it's Cowboys 1, Eagles 2, that's plus 275. If you think Eagles 1, Cowboys 2, it's plus 325. But if you're making the point that you are making, Mike, and you're thinking, okay, these two are pretty clearly on a different level than the other two.
Right.
Well, then you take out the who finishes above the other out of play there, and you're just taking a plus 110. So that's kind of what you're thinking here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I actually looked at the fact that, okay, should I look at the Cowboys at plus 120 to win a division separately and then the Eagles at plus 185 separately, like two different tickets? I mean, just thinking about it that way too. But you can't go wrong, in my opinion, plus 110. With this forecast here, Cowboys, Eagles.
Okay, that is number one of three of several we're going to talk about. We'll just go rapid fire. So NFC North, and this is one too where instead of asking ourselves, do we think either the top two will disappoint, probably where you start on this one is, do you think there's any way the Lions or the Bears could find a way to make a big leap forward? Because they're both 9-1 to win the division. Both expected to be massive rebuilds once again this year. And as a result, this is the most heavily juiced dual forecast. Packers, Vikings, minus 145 to finish 1-2 in some sort of combo. Is there a world, Pritch, in which you see either Chicago or Detroit finishing in the top two in this division?
No, not even a parallel universe.
Wow.
Ben.
Oh, man. Okay.
Absolutely not. I mean, the Bears, look, they might be trading Quinn. I mean, who knows what happens here as well as they continue to strip that thing down. I'll give the Lions credit, though. I thought the Lions put up a fight last year. I think Campbell has got and received a buy-in. But they're just not there yet from a talent standpoint, consistency standpoint, not to the level where the Packers are going to be. And even with the Vikings, with a brand new head coach, you know, in that situation, I think Zim did a horrible job, certainly lost the locker room. I think, you know, McConnell has a chance to get that locker room, and it's got some young players, Jefferson in particular, that's just spectacular right there too. So I think Vikings will be improved defensively, a better effort as well. So yeah, there's no universe out there in which I would go outside of the Packers Vikings combo.
Not even a universe. And we know how crazy the NFL is. You know better than just about anybody. And when you're saying that, it's like, okay, we don't need to go further.
Well, you know, you have the Packers and you have Aaron Rodgers engaged now in offseason. Yeah. Remember last year, he didn't even go to the offseason and coast it to MVP, but you had so many of the same parts. But now that you have different parts and Rodgers is engaged in those young guys, I mean, I think that bodes well for the Packers. When you have an engaged Aaron Rodgers like that, a motivated player to his caliber, that can transcend into something pretty special.
I mean, we've seen so many times under that regime when the expectations are either not low, because I mean the win totals again high in their favor to win the division, but when there is kind of sour notes on the outside around that franchise, we have seen time and again that they have overperformed and exceeded expectations. Whereas when everything is expected of them, you sometimes see the struggle with a team like that. And again, injuries play a big role in that. So it's a good point you make. NFC South is kind of the same way. We'll skip right over to NFC West because this is probably the most fascinating one, right? Where it's Rams, Niners, Cardinals, and then Seahawks. So Seahawks, the one team perceived to be in a rebuild. Cardinals are a very interesting, kind of a polarizing team this offseason. And as far as the favorites here, it's Rams, Niners to go in the top two, plus 125. A rightful favorite there. And then it's a bunch of Cardinals, either Cardinals, Rams, Cards, Niners. And it, I guess it becomes of a question for you, at least. Cardinals, are you on Team Kyler this year, or are you in fade Arizona operation?
And no DeAndre Hopkins to begin the season, too.
Six-game suspension.
Yeah. Right. So it gets interesting here. Kyler is playing for a contract. He's trying to leverage himself right now, too. From a betting standpoint, I don't know if I can back that. Okay, so I'm trying to come to grips in my mind. Lance, as a starter with the 49ers in that roster versus Kyler Murray playing for a contract. I mean, the Rams, I think the Rams are certainly got to have them in your combo. But is it the 49ers or the Cardinals? It's not going to be the Seahawks and Drew Lock.
What makes you say that?
Drew Lock. Well, he's a Mizzou guy. That's why.
Oh, yeah. And maybe one or two.
That's right. Yeah. But no, I mean, Kyler, there's something to that effect to me from a betting standpoint. Do I back Kyler, or do I back Kyle Shanahan and his play calling ability with Lance?
It is interesting. I feel like we're making and again, this is kind of what we do in the offseason, right? Mm-hmm. We take leaps and make a lot of assumptions. Feels like we're doing a lot of that with San Francisco this offseason, based on the infrastructure they have.
It's a good roster, but then the Debo Samuel aspect of it, too. So, I mean, there's some rumblings and movement right there that kind of makes you uneasy betting the NFC West right now.
Don't worry, though. We have 65 days till kickoff. Right. We're going to have a lot more of these conversations here over the next couple of months. On the other side, hour number two of the Lombardi Line will break down today's Major League Baseball card. Talk a little UFC in hour number two with Lou Finicaro. That is all still to come here on VSiN.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.